if you've got a Bible there in front of you, it'd be wonderful if you could turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. And we're going to be looking together at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. If you've got one of the Pew Bibles there, you'll find the reading is right at the bottom of page 1174. You get 1.5 verses and it's straight over to the top of the very next page. But as I read, it'll appear on the screen as well. Paul writes to the church in Ephesus. He says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Amen. Well, this evening, we're going to see together, firstly, this evening, that the church drives us to pray. The church drives us to pray, and this is in verses 14 to 15. Now Paul here, when he starts this amazing prayer right in the middle of Ephesians, he begins by saying, "For this reason." For this reason, he comes and kneels and prays before to our Heavenly Father. And this passage, this prayer, is right in the middle. It's slap bang in the middle of the book of Ephesians. And in fact, if anything, this prayer is, it's a link. It's the bridge which connects the two sections of Ephesians. Chapters 1 and chapter 2 of Ephesians are all about who are we? Because of the Lord Jesus Christ, who are we? Paul says again and again and again that if you're a Christian, you're in Christ. And in chapters 1 and chapter 2, Paul has been unpacking that. He's been talking about how if we are a Christian, like the church in Ephesus, then we have been chosen in Jesus. That before the world began, before time itself began, God loved us and predestined us to share in the riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again and again in chapter 1, we've heard about the spiritual blessings which we have in Jesus. We're found in Christ. Then in chapter 2, we heard about how God has made us alive in Jesus. For by ourselves, we are naturally dead, naturally spiritually dead. Because we are slaves to sin, we are slaves to Satan, and we are dead in our sins and our trespasses. But God has made us alive in Christ. Because the Lord Jesus Christ has died for us and risen from the dead, God makes us alive in him. And then Paul goes on to tell us that the church is not just individuals, but the church is a body. For we are made up of, the church is made up of Jew and Gentile. And that we are to live together to fulfill God's plans and purposes. And so chapters 1 and chapters 2 are really about who are we as Christians. As Christians, we are those who have been loved from before the dawn of time. We're called together into a church. And we're only here because God has made us alive through Jesus. But then when you get to the second half of Paul's letter to the Ephesians, when you get into chapters 4 to 6, you'll notice it gets very different. We get passages about how we are to put off various sinful ways of living, to put on others instead. Paul talks to us about how we are to live in the church, how we're to live in the home and in our families. And then we have those wonderful passages, don't we, like how we are to live by putting on the whole armour of God. And if you like, chapters 1 and 2 are about the gospel and who we are as Christians. And chapters 4 to 6 are how we are to live as Christians and to live as the church. And the bit which marries these two things together is this prayer right in the middle of chapter 3. This is the linking passage when Paul says, because of all these wonderful things that you are in Jesus, for all this wonderful truth that the church is made up of Jew and Gentile, because of all of this, for this reason, I pray. And who does Paul come and pray to? He prays to the Father. And then he says, slightly oddly, in verse 15, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And I think what Paul is saying there is that we are praying to our Father in heaven, who is king, and is king over everyone and everything. Even if someone doesn't bow the knee to the Lord Jesus, even if they don't worship our God as they should, he is Father of everyone. So when we pray for the church, we're praying to the one who is ruling and reigning and in charge of everything, and the one who will hear our prayers and can answer them and put and to work for our good. So what does Paul pray? Well, secondly, we're going to see that Paul wants us to pray for the power of the Spirit. To pray for the power of the Spirit. Now, I wonder if you remember, back in chapter 1, Paul has another wonderful prayer there for the church. And Paul prays and asks God that we would have a spirit of wisdom and knowledge so that we could know about the glorious riches of God's love. And if you like, it's kind of a prayer for head knowledge. Paul is praying in chapter 1 that we would know the gospel, that we would know who we are in Christ. But here, Paul's prayer changes. It actually sounds as more like Paul is not just asking that we would have more head knowledge, but that our knowledge of the gospel and of who we are, that he prays for our hearts. Let me read it to us again. Paul prays in verse 16. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Paul's praying for the Holy Spirit to do two things, which sounds slightly odd. He asks them for the Holy Spirit to be at work to strengthen our inner being, to allow our Christ to dwell in our hearts. Now, I think, if I understand Paul rightly, particularly with his use of the word kind of our inner being, that what Paul is asking is that he's asking that God would be at work to change us, to strengthen us in our inner being. Paul is asking that God would give us his Holy Spirit to live within us, to be at work to change us, to make us more like Jesus. And the word we sometimes use is to sanctify us. But if we're going to change, if we're going to truly become more like the Lord Jesus, if we're going to learn to love God more, if we're going to learn to love our neighbor better, to show those wonderful fruits of the Spirit in our lives, then we need help. We need the Holy Spirit who is living within us to strengthen us, to change us, so that our inner being would become less like it was when it was dead in our sins, and more like the Lord Jesus, more alive, more truly human. We need the Holy Spirit to be at work in our hearts to apply the truth of the gospel, which we hear week by week, so that we have Christ dwelling in our hearts, so that we rejoice over the good news of the gospel, so that the promises that God makes becomes more of a reality in our lives. Paul is praying and saying that we should pray to God for the Holy Spirit to help us to live as Christians, to live the new life to which we've been called to, and which he's going to go on in chapters 4 to 6 to tell us how we are to live. We need God's Spirit to be working within us, to be strengthening us, to change us, to strengthen our inner being. And then Paul prays in verses, second half of verse 17 and verse 19. He says that we should pray for the power to grasp God's love. Now, this is a bit of an impossible task. It's a bit like when God says to Abraham, why don't you, you know, your descendants are going to be as many as the stars in the sky. And I do love, there is a John MacArthur study Bible, which has a brilliant footnote at that point, which tells you exactly how many stars you could see in the sky over when Abraham was living. But the point is not that we're to be able to go outside and to look up in the sky and to be able to count all the stars and say how many there are. God also says to Abraham, he says, can you, your descendants will be as many as the grains of sand on the shore. There is a vast and innumerable number. Can we count all the stars in the sky or all the grains of sand on a beach? No. It's an impossible task. Paul here also prays that we might do something impossible, that we might grasp, as he says, how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Well, at a certain point, that sort of sounds as if you might be able to measure a temple or something like that, or measure how long Noah's Ark is. But he then goes on to say, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Essentially, it's impossible for us ever to be able to get our heads around just how big God's love is. It's too long, it's too wide, it's too high, it's too deep. It surpasses our human knowledge. But Paul wants us to pray for it. He wants us to pray that we would be a people who know how much God loves us. And this is in response to what he's been saying in chapters 1 and 2 of who we are in Christ. Love from before the dawn of time, dead and guilty but made alive, made united in the church. Be notice too how this prayer is not an individual prayer. Paul says in verse 17 on to 18, he says, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. This is a prayer not just for individuals, although we'd love to know the love of Christ more. This is Paul praying primarily for the whole church, together, to know how long, how wide, how deep, how high is that love of Christ which surpasses all knowledge. It's a prayer to pray for the whole church, that we would be an encouragement to one another, that we would be spurring one another on, that as we meet Sunday by Sunday and we're hearing together from God's word, we would be encouraging one another on in the faith. But as we continue to meet together, we'll be learning more and more and more about God's love. And that wouldn't just remain head knowledge, but it would be heart knowledge too, to know
that we are loved with a love which we could never possibly grasp. But fourthly and finally, if those two prayers, praying for the power of the Spirit to come and change us and make us more like the Lord Jesus, to pray that we would grasp the impossible of how much Jesus loves us, if those things sound too much, Paul then prays and essentially says that God will do it. And Paul, he just has rock-solid confidence that God can hear these prayers and can do them. He says in verses 20 to 21, he says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." After all, if God chose us from before the dawn of time, if he's adopted us in Jesus, if he's made us alive in Jesus, though we were dead and guilty, if God has promised us a future of inexpressible riches, then how much more is he going to be able to answer prayers like these? God has an incredible power. It's the power which created the sun and the moon. And that power is at work within us to make us more like the Lord Jesus, to strengthen us, to tell us about God's love. And that power is being used to bring glory to God forever. God can hear these prayers and answer them beyond what we can imagine. So we're a little bit after the next song, we're going to spend some time using these words to shape our prayers. Because one of the things that God loves to do is God loves to hear our prayers when they're shaped by his word. And it'd be wonderful to hear us praying, as Paul does for this church, that we would be strengthened by the Spirit, so we'd be becoming more like the Lord Jesus, but also that we would continue over this year, over 2020, that as a church family, we might, as New Year 2021, that we might know God's love better together, that we might know a little bit more of the height and width and length and depth. And we pray in confidence because our Father in heaven can hear these prayers, can make us more like Jesus, can strengthen us, and can show us his love, because his power is at work for our good within us.